Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll explore what happens when a key staff member leaves the team. Well, Andy, normally on the podcast, we start with a principal and then find stories in our organization to illustrate it. But today's conversation actually started with a story, and we thought it'd make a great podcast.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love about organization, we just started our 20th year, so we're 19 years old, and we have a lot of staff who've been here 10 years, 15 years. Every time we get together as an organization, we celebrate 10-year and 15-year anniversaries. So that's a lot of fun. But from time to time, you know, people who've been here a long time transition off the team. And today's story really revolves around a team member who's been here for 16 and a half years, who's transitioning off the team. And lest our audience think we're talking about him behind his back, he's actually here in the studio with us to help us tell his story. Now, before we jump into this, I realize depending on what you do and what industry you're in, there are rules sometimes around how people leave, when people leave. I know I have friends in the financial industry who, when they change companies, once that becomes known, they know that immediately, you know, they come take their key card, they watch them clean out their desk, they walk them to the door. They don't leave with, you know, thumb drives. They don't leave with laptops. And that's understandable because there are industries where security is such a big deal that there's protocol. So we get that. But in most organizations, and certainly the kinds of organizations we're most familiar with and work with, it's not that stringent. But oftentimes, the transition off a team, or especially when it's perceived to be moving toward what could be a competitor or a similar industry or a similar organization, it can get kind of dicey. It can get kind of nasty. And for those of you in our podcast audience, surprisingly enough, it can be just as bad in church world as it is in the marketplace, believe it or not. So in about 2 weeks, one of our key staff members leaves our organization actually to go to another church. And before he left, I just wanted us to talk about this transition and talk about the process, because I think we've all learned something in this, and hopefully our audience will learn some things as well.
Andy, you mentioned that there are certain industries where there's very strict protocol when someone leaves the organization, but doesn't really matter what the industry is. It can be dangerous to talk about leaving.
Yeah, it can be dangerous when you start talking about leaving a division, a department within an organization, or leaving the organization altogether. If the wrong people hear that, again, you know, that could be your last day. So we've tried really hard as we talk about, when we talk about our staff behaviors, to be very open-handed when it comes to people who work here. Nobody wants to work in a culture where people have to whisper. I mean, secrets are bad for organizations. Being secretive within a staff culture is bad for the staff culture. And we don't want to have a fear-based organization. And so one of the most difficult areas to apply being open-handed or not being secretive has to do with positions within the organization or rumors that someone's thinking about leaving the organization. So recently, one of our key staff members had a great opportunity. And he actually came to me to talk about it at the front end of the process, which is very uncharacteristic. But honestly, I was so honored by the fact that I was invited into the discussion on the front end rather than being informed once the decision had been made. It really just, I think it just opened up the conversation and took it to a really healthy place. And so that's what we're going to talk about.
Andy, you use an interesting word there. What about the process made you feel honored?
Well, you know, one of our staff values is remain open-handed, and that applies to several areas of organizational life. But one of the areas it applies to is being open-handed with the people who work for you, the people who work with you, and the people who report to you. Because within our organization, people are constantly moving in and out of divisions, departments, again, across campus. So here's a situation where one of our key people is actually moving out or leaving the organization. And so the fact that he would trust me with that information, knowing that I'm the guy, I mean, I'm the boss. I'm the one who say, well, hey, if you're not going to be loyal or if that's what you're thinking about doing, then, you know, we'll give you 2 weeks. I mean, I'm the person that he should keep that information from the most, honestly. But the fact that he felt like, hey, this open-handedness is a value here, so why wouldn't I expect Andy to be open-handed with my future?
Well, speaking of he is sitting right here. His name is Joel Thomas. Many of you are familiar with Joel and his involvement here at North Point. Joel, you've been around here for quite a while. I mean, it feels like from the very beginning, probably, what, 16 and a half years now? And you came in as an intern, right?
That's correct. I started as an intern the summer of 1998 and was here when we moved into our very first facility here in Alpharetta. I came on staff full-time that next year. I've served in about four different departments on multiple campuses and most recently took Andy's place here as the lead pastor at North Point.
Yeah, in 2011, I realized that I could not, you know, oversee the entire organization and continue to give my undivided attention to one of our campuses. So I knew I needed to replace myself, which was one of the things we talk about here. And I felt like Joel was the guy. The problem was his sister worked at this campus, his wife worked at this campus, and his sister-in-law worked at this campus, which meant he would become his sister, his wife, and his sister-in-law's boss. And so really, for almost a year, I put this decision off. I thought, Joel is the guy, but this is a terrible thing to do to his family. And, you know, anybody anywhere would be like, Andy, you can't do that. So then I made a big leadership decision. I decided, you know what? If I go ahead and hire Joel, that will become his problem, not my problem.
Appreciate that.
So 4 years ago, he stepped into my role at this organization. And then just a few months ago, Joel, you began this unexpected process. So tell us about that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I wasn't really looking for another opportunity. As far as I was concerned, I really believed I already had the best opportunity in the country. Anybody knows me well knows I mean that sincerely. And the truth was this opportunity kind of came looking for me, and it was persistent. And I didn't take it seriously at first. This wasn't the first time someone called me, primarily because of this place, not because of me. I know that. But typically I brushed them off, but something was different about this one. And God started speaking to me and to my wife. And through my wife, and honestly, it terrified me, and it was different. And soon we had several clear signs. This was something the Lord really wanted us to be open to, and I just couldn't think of somebody I'd rather process it with than you, and I needed your wisdom. So that was a big part of why I came to you in the first place.
And not only did you want to talk to me, you actually told this other group that you wanted to talk to me, and they were a little bit shocked by that.
Yeah, actually, when they officially wanted me to enter their process, I told them before I officially engaged with them that I needed to talk to you first. And that not only surprised them, I think it confused them at the same time. In fact, I remember one of the board guys that was visiting here in Atlanta saying to me, "Isn't that a little premature? I mean, are you sure you want to do that? We're not saying you're the guy. We just want you to come out and kind of go through our interview process." And I remember him telling me that he'd hate for me to create an awkward situation for myself. And while I understood his concern and even sort of appreciated it, I completely discounted it. And my response to him was that that's just not how things work around here.
And Joel, I can understand the wisdom in that. They were just trying to protect you. It's like, why tip your hat that you're considering something if it doesn't work out? Don't you lose a little bit of credibility with Andy? I mean, that's just natural.
Sure. Yeah. And that's why I said I really appreciated their concern for me. But honestly, it never really entered my mind. I wasn't concerned about that. I never thought my job would be at stake. And as I said earlier, I really wanted to know what you thought. And I thought you could help coach me through this process. So it just wasn't an issue.
Well, I'm glad you felt like that's not how things work around here. And the reason I think they don't work that way around here is because I think we have a fundamental belief that that's not how things work anyway. That the whole idea that somehow through being secretive and having imaginary conversations with our bosses and conversations at home and just all that angst and all that stress that those things create, that it's really just better to keep those things out in the open. And granted, in certain industries and certain companies, that can be dangerous. But I think ultimately it's better for the organization. I think ultimately it's even self-serving to be, as we refer to it, being open-handed. Because as we've talked about before on this podcast, nobody owns anyone. And somebody else far wiser than I first said it, that every staff member and every paid employee is a volunteer ultimately. Everybody is really giving their time. They're choosing to show up. So that being the underlying principle and context, why would we need ever in any industry or any company to create a sense of secretness around what a person ultimately wants to do? And I think what made this easy for me, Joel, is as you told me your story, I had to decide, do I trust Joel's decision-making process and do I believe what he's telling me? And if I trust Joel, and if I believe what he's telling me, why would I not enter into the conversation as a friend who's trying to make a really difficult decision as opposed to responding to him as a boss who's trying to keep his team together? And I think that really is the fundamental difference. And I think every employer, every manager, every division director, you know, every entrepreneur, when they find themselves in these discussions, they have to make that decision. Am I going to enter into this conversation in such a way as to try to protect myself, which of course we're all tempted to do. I don't want to see Joel leave. I've told him that 1,000 times, and that's part of the story later on. But at the same time, I've worked with this guy for so many years. Why would I not just be human and enter into the conversation as a friend who's trying to make a really difficult decision? That's the nature of being open-handed, but that's just the reality of every one of these transitions in any industry, in any company. And I just think it is almost self-serving the way it ultimately unfolds in a staff and on a staff culture.
And truthfully, your open-handedness made it harder for me to leave.
Exactly. I just said it was self-serving. It wasn't exactly guilt, but it was almost guilt.
And honestly, it almost worked. But the truth is, when you prioritized me over the organization, it made it so much easier for me to prioritize the organization over myself in the transition. As you know, I told you everything. We talked. We texted all along the way. I was so blown away how you did not try to control the decision, the process, the messaging. I remember when I called you before the staff meeting announcement and I said, Andy, is there anything you want me to say or you don't want me to say? And you were like, no, you say whatever you want. You tell them anything you want. Tell them exactly what happened. And your lack of desire to try to control the process, no deadlines, no pressure, it was just extraordinary. And other places, I've heard the stories, you've heard the stories, when you bring up leaving, you're out the door and I never felt that at all.
Andy, as Joel and I have talked about his experience and how you helped him process this, he talked about the conversation you guys had. Talk a little bit about what you remember from that conversation.
Well, first of all, I was completely shocked. It really took me by surprise. I didn't think people were after Joel. I think people are after all of our key staff all the time because I think we have incredible people. So that didn't surprise me. What surprised me was that this group had stayed after him as long as they had and that he was considering it. And I didn't take it personally. I just immediately, again, turned on the switch of here's an incredible person who has a big decision. How can I help? And it really was easier than you might imagine for me to be open-handed about this. And in fact, so much so, later on, I had to circle back around and assure him I did not want him to leave. We can talk about that in just a few minutes. When Joel finished telling me his story and explaining, you know, what he was thinking and what he was feeling, I told him, I said, you know, basically when people are looking at a transition, it's generally one of three things. One is they're just restless and they just want something else to do where they are. They need a bigger challenge or more responsibility. We've all been there. We just get restless. We get bored. You know, we've been doing the same thing for too long. And I told him, I said, if that's what it is, then I want to help you figure out what else you can do to exploit your talent and, you know, the things that you bring to the table. But in addition to restlessness, sometimes it's just a better opportunity. I mean, sometimes a better opportunity comes along. People are perfectly happy doing what they're doing, but this is just a better opportunity. And I told him, if it's a better opportunity, then I'm for you. You know, how can I, you know, help you take advantage of that? And then I said, but there's a third category. And sometimes we just know we are supposed to do something. It doesn't make any sense. It's not fiscally responsible. It's not what our families always wanted to do. Sometimes as in this case, means moving someplace you never dreamed of moving. Nothing about it makes sense, but you can't get it out of your head. You can't get it out of your heart. You just know you are supposed to do it. So I laid out those three things to Joel, and I said, Joel, after listening to this story, I think it's the third one. I said, now you've got to decide. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you know, I don't feel like you're restless. I don't think you're looking for another opportunity. I've never sensed that. And I just think you just can't, this thing has gotten a hold of you and it's not going to let go. And this may be that odd third thing where you just have to do something you know you're supposed to do, even though you may not be able to explain it.
And then that conversation ended with an amazing encouragement of you to say, hey, you're only going to figure this out if you go out and explore it. Yep. And so with your blessing and your encouragement, that's what I did.
Yep, but I didn't pay for your plane ticket.
Nope.
So Joel, you went out and met with these people, got all the information, came back. Still, you struggled with clarity, still struggled with the decision. And you had another meeting with Andy, and in that meeting, you told me about a question he gave you that was very clarifying. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, honestly, at that point, when we met that second time, I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what we would do. And then Andy asked me this really clarifying question. He said this, he said, if they were to call you today and tell you they found somebody else, would you be relieved or disappointed? And that sort of just like cut through all of it. And I knew right away, I didn't want to answer right away, partly because it was just a hard question for me to answer.
Hard question to answer out loud. You knew the answer.
I knew the answer.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I was okay with the answer, truthfully, but it was a great question. And I said, man, that's a great question. You said, so which is it? And I was like, you know, honestly, I think I would be disappointed. And the truth was, I didn't think I knew, but I did. And in an instant, when he asked me that question, I knew the answer, and it gave me the confidence that I wasn't crazy, because I thought I was crazy along the way. But this was such a difficult decision, and most of the way, it made very little sense to us. But in that moment, regardless of how I felt about it, clarity came with that question.
Andy, I heard about a funny exchange you had with Sandra over Joel's leaving that may be a result of taking open-handedness a little too far.
Yeah, that night I went home and told her about the conversation, and she asked me how I responded. So I said, I just, you know, kind of entered into it like he's a friend trying to make a decision. And, you know, I was just very neutral and just listening and wanted to help him make the right decision. And she looked at me and she said, so do you think he left there thinking you want him to leave? She said, it sounded like you were so neutral. He may have left there thinking, wow, Andy's kind of glad I'm leaving. I said, you know what? You're probably right, because I knew that was not the time to ask tough questions. That was the time to listen. That was not the time to say, what about, and to throw up all the organizational reasons he shouldn't leave. I left all of that out of the conversation. I really was just trying to be so open-handed and ask good questions and help him process. She said, well, I think you need to go back to work tomorrow and tell him, but Joel, I don't want you to leave.
Yeah, you followed me into my office after leadership team that day. And I remember you sat down, you looked me straight in the eye and said, I don't want you to leave. You're so valuable to our organization. And that meant so much to me on a lot of levels. But I think if you hadn't told me that, Andy, that could have allowed some doubts to enter into my mind. Doubts as to whether you really believed me or not, whether I really had value in this organization or not. Doubts about whether I could do this thing that I really felt God was leading me to do. And the truth is, while I'm still terrified, I'm more confident in what God has gifted me to do as a leader and as a pastor because you decided to circle around and communicate that to me.
You can thank Sandra for that.
Thank you, Sandra.
But I've told you 100 times since then, I don't want you to leave.
Well, Andy, as we close today, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just close by saying this. In every organization, there is either a culture of secrecy or there's not. And leaders create that. We just do. Whether you're the division director or the department director, or you run a franchise or you own the company, you create whether or not people feel like they can talk about their futures or not. And the bottom line is this, people who feel free to talk about their new future or their potential new future often find contentment in their current circumstances, because a big part of a great job is who you work with. I mean, it just is. People take less money all the time to work for great people, and great people aren't afraid of other people leaving. They're just not. Great people who have confidence in their own leadership, great people who love their company and love their culture, they're just not afraid of what people are going to do. So again, I think it's a win for the person that's thinking about leaving. I think it's a win for the person who's going to experience that loss. It's a win for everybody who's watching the process, because as people experience the process of people leaving their division or their department or their company, they know, hey, one day my time's going to come, and that's what it's going to look like. So essentially, this is about modeling. It's about creating culture. And I think at the end of the day, being open-handed, especially as it relates to people leaving an organization, is critical to a healthy staff culture.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for today. And Joel, thank you for being here as well. Even though you're leaving, you will always be family. And to all our listeners, we just want to thank you for joining us. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.